We have a special minister who is not a guest because he's family. He and his wife are part of this church. And Ronnie, I hear. Pastor Babu and Ronnie, would you please stand? And then Pastor Babu, would you just make your way? Amen. Come on, let's go ahead and give Pastor Babu that welcome. Hallelujah. You can do better than that. Come on, Harvesters. You can do better than that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, Pastor Babu, and I met a number of years ago, and God just has created, you may be seated, created a strong bond. We're truly brothers in the Lord. He honors me by calling me his mentor, but he's doing a far greater work than we are. But I thank God for him. He and his family live in Hyderabad. They're really, really not just people we know, but really family. And, you know, every time he comes through, he tries to make time to come and be with us before he returns. And so, Pastor Babu, this is your family minister in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you so very much. Well, praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be here back in the family of God. Thank you, Bishop, for giving this opportunity. I think this started almost two decades back when one of our church members, Brother Roberts, called and said, he called me when he was in the worship place in the church. He said, he calls me Anna. Anna means brother. Anna, exactly the church is they are worshiping the way we are worshiping. I could sense the presence of God here. Then I said, stick there. Be there. And that's how the relationship started. The family is here, blessed to their family. And also, that's ever since God has joined our hearts, as Bishop said, Bishop is always, I consider him, count him as my mentor, a man of God with tremendous wisdom and understanding. And also, he really, God has called him for this generation to see the harvest is being reaped in a bigger way, in a better way, in a greater way. Not only in the United States of America, but also in the nations of the world outside. That includes India. So last time when he came to us, we had a wonderful pastor's conference. Actually, the room is only for 300 pastors because of some situations, so I can't explain right now. And we have to restrict our people. But when they came to know that Bishop is coming, it was almost touching 400 pastors. We had a great time, and Bishop was speaking about the love of God, you know, and they were so excited, like, you know, it's not an information, it's a revelation. Once you know that he loved you first, then life starts different for us. So that was the message, and it was a powerful time. And then eventually he was there with us for our 40th wedding anniversary. So we recently celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. That is last October. That's how I always say that here is my beloved wife in whom I am well pleased. So, yeah, we, first of all, when I got married to her, first 10 years I thought she doesn't know anything. The second 10 years I just felt that she knows something. Then the third 10 years I thought she knows more things. The fourth one, then I realized she knows many more things than me. So that's how life started. And we have three children and six grandchildren. You might think that how could this young man has six grandchildren? That's only one reason, some of you know that, we die for Jesus. If you die for Jesus, you look young. That is a revelation that has come to me when I started growing. Then you might think how will I look without if dying? So I'll tell you a small clue that I'll be like one of the 24 elders in heaven. So that's how it looks like. So anyway, so we have a great time. Bishop also was preaching in the church. Why I remind these words, because Bishop is a great communicator, a great preacher. You know, he makes you to understand it and he makes you to keep it in your heart. What was he sharing is, already what has done, what is happening is, it's like a highlights of what already happened. We are winners, we are conquerors, we are more than conquerors. Now what is happening is just a rewinding of things, like, you know, it's a highlights like what is happening. So we are there in Christ. Those who are in Christ is a new creation. Hallelujah. And when I used to come to US, you know, I always, people used to say that, Pastor Babu, you have a strong Indian accent. Then I said, Lord, I make sounds, you make sense. Now, there is no other way, like, you know. Then somebody, young people came and told me, Pastor Babu, you need to learn little slang, American slang. I said, what is that slang? In order to get into the system. Then I said, okay, first of all, if something is good, you should say it's over the top. And then if somebody asks you if you're relaxing, enjoying your time, somebody asks you, how are you, sir? You can say, I'm chilling. I'm chilling. And I wanted to speak out these words. So next day I went to one of the pastor lady, and she was asking me, how are you, Pastor Babu? I just said, I'm chilling. She could not control herself laughing. She was almost on the floor. Then I realized this is a little different word than normally what I feel. Then I realized one thing. You know, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can chill in Christ for a lifetime. So that's what I said, you know. That's where it is. No matter what happens to the world outside, you can definitely chill in Christ. So when we have, you know, been, God has been so good to us. When my dad, he got saved. Now things are changing. I can't tell the name of the place. But Jesus spoke to him in audible voice, and that's how he was converted. He got changed. Accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. God, he was supposed to die in 4 months, but God given him 23 long years, planted churches, and he has gone to be with the Lord 25 years back. Now, we have planted hundreds of churches, and now we just want to plant this 10 years of time, 3,400 churches for the glory of God. Already we have come to a point where we have planted 80 churches now. In 10 years of time, we just want to see that the harvest is being multiplied. And as the word says, the abundance we should want to see in the ministry, beloved. So please continue to pray. And also one more challenge we had, because the Telangana, we used to be Andhra Pradesh in the past, combined state. Now it is Telangana. In Telangana, we have 40,000 churches. So we have a vision, an initiative we have started. We said, each church, each month, minimum one soul. That means every month, you can see 40,000 people coming into the kingdom of God. And if that happens in 1 year, it's going to be 480,000 people coming to the Lord. And in 10 years of time, it could be 5 million people, beloved. So already we have reached 20,000 pastors with this vision. And since God has given me this vision, all the city top pastors, almost 100 pastors who have big ministries, bigger than us, our ministries, they have joined together. They said, this 10 years of time, let us do it together. Because this is what they consider is the last lap of our lives. Because you may ask me, why it is the last lap, Pastor Babu, you look so young. But I am 67 now. I want to see that another 10 years of time, we want to see 5 million people coming into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Since God has given me this initiative, all the pastors, they have asked me, Pastor Babu, why don't you lead this initiative? You be the chairman of this Light Up Telangana. So we all are doing together. Please pray, because this is the heart of Bishop, that there should be a greater harvest in the days to come. And we want to see that, because Zion Fellowship is an extension of Harvest Intercontinental Church. See, always there is a family, there is a connection. When we are successful, you can celebrate. Because it's because of your prayers and your support, beloved. Give the Lord a big round of applause. And I'm so happy to see the wonderful worship this morning. Because always worship releases joy in the house. How many of you know that the worship will take away your stress? And it will release the joy into our hearts. And also the testimonies of these younger people, those who are there, so blessed my heart, because that is what I was walking with the Lord for the past 51 years. I can see that the Lord is so gracious, so faithful in my life. So this morning, I just want to share a few thoughts what God has given in my heart, because this house is rich with the word. So I want to give you some dessert, so that you can enjoy that. Okay. If you look at our lives right from the beginning, when my dad was there, when we were there, God has given us a vision, beloved. God gives a vision to people. God gives vision to his church. God gives vision to a leader. And everybody will align with that vision, beloved. So Harvest Intercontinental Church has got a vision. And everyone who is here, they should be aligned with the vision which God has given to a bishop. So at the same time, God gives you a vision so that you can reach there by the grace of God. You know, when God spoke to Abraham, God gave him a promise. God made a promise to Abraham. Like God is a promise maker. God is a promise keeper. God is a promise fulfiller. Once the word comes out of God, the Father God, it is going to come to pass no matter what happens. And this morning, I release that word into your lives, that when God gave a word to Abraham, he said, I'm going to give you a promised land. A promised land. Here, the people who are sitting here, everybody has a promised land to possess. Every one of you. And God always makes us to see the vision, beloved. Not to just to understand. He wants us to see the vision. For example, when God has shown Abraham the stars in the night, when he walks in the night, he can see the vision what God has given to him. In the morning, when he walks on the sand, he can see the vision what God has given to him. Every day in, day out, you can see the vision what God has given to you. That makes you to understand the heart of God for your life. That is a purpose what God has given to us. That's why always Abraham was walking with God. He was walking with God. He was always making sure that how can he go to that place. You know the story. I don't want to get there in detail. But one thing I want to say that Abraham always recognized one thing. When God gave a vision to him, Abraham has given something to the Lord, beloved. When Melchizedek came to him with bread and wine, what Abraham did? He gave his tithes in all of his things, beloved. Have you remembered that? You know why? Why did Abraham give tithes to the Lord at that point of time where there was no law of Moses? There was no law of Moses even before that. You know why? Because Melchizedek speaks about Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Levites have given tithes. The children of Israelites have given tithes to Levites. But now there is no Levitical order now. Its order comes from Melchizedek. So by giving tithe, you know what? Abraham has made a statement that my Jesus is alive, beloved. Every time when we give tithes to the Lord, when we bring our tithes and offerings, we are making a statement to the world outside and to the devil, say that my Jesus is alive all the time. Tithe is not just speaking about money, beloved. It speaks about you making a statement to the world outside and to the devil also, beloved, that Jesus is alive all the time. That's what Abraham started giving when God gave him a vision, beloved. So that's what it is. Even when I was in Liberia, Bishop invited me, and I have seen one thing. You know, the beauty of that country, I was asked to preach. And when I preached, I finished my preaching, they came in line for prayers. I was standing in a room. A few girls came. I prayed for them. You know what? One girl came and gave me $20. I said, this Liberia is poorer than India. How could this young girl can give me $20? I need $20, but not from that girl. So she gave. And I said, okay, no. He said, no, pastor, please have it. I want blessings. So I took that and kept it. Likewise, everybody, those who are coming, and they were giving the money. And there was a bishop who came. Few bishops came. And when I prayed over them, you know what? They gave $50. Then I realized, what is this happening in this country? Then I realized one thing. Giving is not because you have money, you are rich. Giving is a virtue, beloved. It's a virtue, it's a generosity. And I was blown away by that. It's not because they are rich, because they got the heart of God. You can be generous, you can be a generous giver. So I know Harvest Intercontinental Church is a generous giving church. And then finally, I was checking out of my room. There was one lady has come to the lobby. Then I said, sister, what do you want? You want to please pray for me that I need to win the court case. I said, surely I'll pray for you. Then he picked up something in her old bag and all. Finally, she got $50. I said, sister, no, don't give. Keep it with you. You look poor. I mean, I can see that. Then she said, no. Please take it. Then I said, once the case, you win the case, then you send the money to me. So then she said, no, pastor. This is a sowing. I want to sow. I want to be victorious. I want to sow into the kingdom, into the man of God. I was blown away. Then I came and I told Bishop, your country is a blessed country, Bishop. Because they give generously, not just because they have, but they will learn to give to the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is really touched my heart, beloved. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, when God gives us a vision and a dream, Abraham started learning to give back to the Lord what he has got. That's one thing. Then the vision has been passed on to, you know, Isaac, the promises, and then to Jacob. You can see that happening. But finally, it has come to Joseph so that he can take the vision into next generation, beloved. God wants a person so that he can take the vision into next generation. You could be the same person in this hall who is sitting here. Because if you look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11, it says, all those things have happened as an example to us for our admonition, that we can learn out of it. So God gave a dream to Joseph. Genesis chapter 37 verse 5. When God gives you a dream, that is the purpose of your life. And it's a bigger plans of God in Joseph's life. It was not just an information, it was a revelation given to Joseph. Because information always frustrates, but revelation manifests, beloved. It was a revelation to Joseph. And God has initiated that in the life of Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. I'm not going to get there. I'm just giving you some insights what God has shown to me. The revelation releases motivation to speak out, to confess. And the faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Joseph heard. He received the dream. He did not just kept it for himself. He started confessing that. This dream has to come to pass in my life. Once you confess, then you possess. But there is a process in between. Because in Proverbs 18:21 it says, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. This morning I want to encourage you, never make a negative confession in your life. Never, ever. Just now Bishop was making you to confess the words, I'm winner, I'm victorious. Never make a negative confession. Maybe you see the facts are different, but it doesn't matter. The truth will prevail over the facts, beloved. So he made a confession. Like Caleb made a confession. We are able, we can possess. And the 10 leaders, they said, leaders of the tribes, they said, we can't make it. Today I want to tell you, you can make it for the glory of God. It looks impossible, God will make it happen in your life. Especially, never make a negative confession about your children at any given time. Sometimes we speak sometimes that, you know, you are of no use. You can't make it. Never say that word on your children. And never allow anybody to say that word. Don't accept anybody's word when they speak against your children. Bishop knows my son Prince. When he was in the college, one of my friend who happens to be the physical director, he came to me. He said, my friend Mohan, Babu, said, yes sir, your son is not attending classes. In India we say bunking classes. That means he is not attending classes. Then I told him, what is the big deal? When I was young, I was doing the same. And he was fighting here and there. He was involving in all fights and all. Then I said, what is the big deal? Even I was doing the same. Then finally he said, I don't think your son will make it big. I heard him, what all he has to say. Then finally I told him, looking into his eyes, my dear friend, let me tell you one thing. I totally reject what you have said right now. You are speaking the facts, which might be true, but I am speaking to you the truth. The truth comes out. The truth will prevail over the fact. What is the truth? That God is going to bless my son. He's going to make him bigger and better. We possess the promises of Abraham. I will make your name greater. I will give you the promised land. Then you know, today, he is running a business. It's a multi-million business, beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Multi-million business. And he's busy, but he says, Dad, thank you for standing with us. You know what he said? He told one of the people, my dad doesn't give me money, but he gave me three things. The convictions to walk by, and the courage and confidence. Hallelujah. This church was given the convictions, beloved. It comes out of the word of God. This church has got the confidence to make it happen. And this church has got, you know, the courage to walk in the ways of the Lord. No matter what. Give the Lord a big round of applause. I am excited. When he made, not only he confessed, he proclaimed it, beloved. When you have something to share, don't hold it. You speak out what God is going to do in your life. People might not like it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You speak out that God is going to give me a big house, a better car, a better prosperity. Speak out what God has given to you. Hallelujah. Once it happens, beloved, name of the Lord be glorified. Amen. Joseph made a confession. He proclaimed it. You know what happened? His brothers could not take it. You know the story. First of all, they wanted to kill him. First of all, they wanted to kill him, totally wipe him out and put him in the pit, beloved. That was a rejection. That was a loneliness. That was hurt. Joseph had an option, either to go bitter or to go better. Because hurts are genuine. When people speak to you, a bad word or a negative word, it hurts you. It hurts you. And when you are hurt, you are a different person. You speak differently. Let me tell you my story. When I was, I'm a cricket player. How many of you know cricket? Oh, this house knows cricket. God bless you. Because even in heaven, we play cricket. So better you learn it. Not football. No football, no baseball, only cricket. Anyway, it's okay. Then I was hurt. I was hurt. My finger got fractured. A big bandage. So when I was about to leave the next few days to US, so I said, okay, let me have this big bandage. I was not happy because people might think differently. So I kept it back. I kept it back. And then I was standing in the line for check-in, in the flight. So one girl came to me and said, hey, sir, it seems you are hurt. I said, yeah. Why? How it happened? Then I said, I am a cricket player. Oh, that's why it happened. She said, no worries, sir. You need not stand in this line. We will give you a special line. Then I realized the advantages of being hurt. Slowly I took that. I want to take the best of the advantage. I just, you know, started showing this. Then I was asking and demanding them, I want a better seat. And I want a better facilities. And they said, no worries, sir. We will give you because you are hurt. And not only that, everybody was coming to me and saying, ah, oh, what happened? why this happened? Are you feeling pain? And I was enjoying that. You know, slowly I was used to that wording, sir. Oh, then I said, I never knew that the benefits of being hurt. Then you know what happened. I got a nice seat. Everything was good. Everything went on. Well, cutting short the story, I went to my pastor friend in Corpus Christi. There was a doctor. He said, you need to open it, otherwise it won't get healed. I said, okay. First service, I was preaching. It was a good message. I always say I'm a good preacher. So it was a good message. And when I was getting down from the pulpit, there was one girl came. She said, Pastor, that was a great message. She was squeezing my hand and I was almost went to hell and came back. Now the point here is, if a man would have squeezed my hand, I said, stop it, man. But it's a girl. I'm a man. My man's ego is coming in between. So I just gave hand to her. I said, oh, the whole scream is going down inside, not outside. Scream is gone. Then finally she, by God's grace, she gave up. Say, I took it and stayed, went to the pastor. And I said, I need a big bandage now. Second service, I can't preach like this. If a man comes and squeezes my hand, I'm done. So then you know what happened. Then the Lord was telling me, when I was ready to preach, he said, he was talking to me, he said, Mohan, tell the church that hurt is for a day, for a week, for a season, not for a lifetime. Don't carry your hurts to the grave. God is at work in our lives because God has given us a vision. He has given us a promise. He is a promise maker, promise keeper, and promise fulfiller. Joseph said, I want to go better, Lord, not bitter. I will come out of this pit. God brought him out of the pit, beloved. And then you know what happened. Then when they thought it is over, but God said, it is a new beginning, Joseph. It's a new beginning in your life. And then they could not kill him physically, but they want to kill his dream, beloved. People will try to kill your dream by speaking the words. You can't make it. You can't do it. You are not for this. You should tell them, I am very much for this. Hallelujah. And then they sold him, beloved. You know why? If a slave cannot pursue his dreams, in a lifetime, he has to be a slave. Once he was a slave for a lifetime. They said, if we could not kill him, kill his dreams. Don't allow people to kill your dreams, beloved. Pursue your dreams. And then he was standing on the streets of Egypt. You know how the slaves will be sold in Egypt? Do you know that? They will be standing naked on the streets of Egypt. On one hand, the promises of God, the truth, the promises. Another hand, the fact, beloved. He lost his identity. He's no more a person. He was a slave. That's it. He was having a multicolored tunic which speaks about royalty in his life. But he was naked. But still Joseph said, Lord, I don't believe what I am today. One day I will reach here, Lord. One day I will reach here, Lord. Hallelujah. That is what Joseph was holding, beloved. You know, devil will always come and try to question your identity. Because if you know who are you in Christ, you are a different person. That's why the devil said, spoke to Jesus, if you are a son of God, if you are a son of God. The devil tried its best, even Jesus Christ, the word has become flesh. He tried, beloved. But Jesus answered, man shall not live by bread alone. We will not live by the fact, but the every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. What was that word? Here is my beloved son. 40 days back, when he was standing on the banks of River Jordan, Father God from heaven said this word, here is my beloved son. Today the Lord is speaking to you. You are my beloved child. I gave my life for you. Thank you, sir. I gave my life for you. I want you to live in abundance in every way. The young man was sharing, it was so touching. Not only abundance, it's overflowing. It's overflowing. Hallelujah. And then, you know what happened? He was in Potiphar's house. You know that. It was persistent temptation, beloved. The world always tries to distract us from reaching out our vision. You know what? When the woman was persistent each and every day, Joseph learned to look to God in the pit, where there is no one was there. He was trained to look to God. He knew the presence of God in his life. He said, if I commit this sin, this is against my God. Realizing that it is not against someone, but first of all, it's against my God, against my master. Hallelujah. Then he might have told that lady, hey lady, when God has shown me a vision, you are not there. You are not there, so please get away from me. You are not there. Don't allow unwanted people to dominate your life. There is an order in this house. There is a leader, there is a father in this house. You need to walk by them. Hallelujah. So he said, I don't want to get distracted. I want to pursue my thing. So he, you know what happened. He was gone into prison. In those days, the prison is always a big time, beloved. It's a lifetime. He has to die in the prison. Now Joseph was falsely accused. The people who are sitting here, sometimes in your life, you have done the best what you can do. You have helped people a lot. Many times, Bishop might have done it many times to many, many people. But sometimes, they speak against you. You feel very hurt when that happens. If a guy who is, you don't know if he has any altercation, you don't mind. But those who are near to you, close to you, you have built their lives. You have seen the best in them, brought the best out of them. But they speak something which hurts, beloved. But Joseph, he chose to be joyful. He wants to get away from that. He doesn't want to stay there. He was in that prison which is impossible, beloved. Let me tell you, our God is a God of impossibles. What people say it is impossible, then God says, oh, you have come to the right place. Because I am a God of impossible. I'll make it happen in your life. When God tested Abraham, your only son, offer him as a burnt offering. What do you mean by burnt offering? That means Isaac has to reduce to ashes. That was the process of a burnt offering. Now Abraham knows that, what God is asking him. It was a ashes. It was not a dead body. Ashes. God raised Lazarus on the fourth day. But here, what Abraham believed in God, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, God is able to raise my son. Even out of ashes. Even when people say it is all over. Beloved, some of you might be thinking in your life that it is all over. But God says it is a new beginning all over. God, our God, is a God who can raise his promises even from the ashes, beloved. Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Joseph. You can see that happening. So let us believe in that God, Jesus Christ, a God of impossible in our lives. We are supernatural people, though we walk naturally, but we are supernatural. And then let me close it with few thoughts. Then you know what happened. Joseph was tested in the prison. He was in the fetters. The fetters were bothering him, paining him. Now, why the word of God was testing him? I was thinking it should have. God, of course, was merciful to him. The word was there. But why the word of God in Psalm 105 says it was testing him? Because God wanted to know the attitude of Joseph. Joseph, you have come to this place. Still do you want to pursue the vision? Still you want to go further? Joseph said, yes, sir. These fetters doesn't matter. This pain doesn't matter. Because I know for one thing for sure, that the one who has given the promise, the one who has given the vision, is a faithful God. He will bring it to pass in my life. No matter whatever the facts are, it doesn't matter in my life. I still pursue. That's why when the butler and baker came to him about their dreams, you know what he said? Don't you know that the interpretations come from God? They come from God. He was having the faith. He was pursuing the word of God in his life. Let me tell you one story, beloved. This church has a great heart for the lost souls. When Bishop was sharing that, you know, each one bring one, intentionally, it's not just casually, intentionally make it happen. You know, there is exact opposite word for faith is fear. Fear paralyzes our faith. How many of you know that? Fear paralyzes our faith. One day I was traveling, I don't know whether I told this to you or not. Let me tell you once again, somebody might not have listened to this. I was traveling from Boston to San Jose. And I was given a seat in between a wife and husband. What God has joined, a man should not asunder. But the seat was given right in the middle. And that guy is a big guy. He's a big time. Some of the brothers were there, big time guy. He was like this. Wife is a nice lady. I told him, I requested him, sir, would you mind changing the seats if you want? He said, not necessary. The voice is so deep. I was scared. So I said, okay. Then I was sitting in middle and I was sharing. I was thinking if I take my fast in my belt and all, if he touches his wife, if he feels that I'm touching his wife and flirting with her, then I'll be in trouble. So I don't know what to do now. Lord, I said, I don't want to talk to anyone now. I don't want to move also. Give me grace to become a statue for a few hours. That was my thing. And, you know, the fear gripped me because of this guy sitting by my side. If he can take me like this. That was his strength. So why should I take chances? Then, slowly, the Lord said, you speak to this lady. Lord, impossible. The Lord said, I am God of impossible. Speak out. So slowly, I was talking to her. I was sharing where they have come, what happened, all that I was sharing. Then, you know, cutting short the story, and I told my dad's testimony. And all that what as a pastor I am doing and all. The whole trip, he did not even say a single word. He was just like that. Whether I don't know whether this guy is listening to me, whether he's a deaf, or what is this, I don't even understand. But still with that great caution, keeping my hands holding, I was talking to her. Sister. So finally, they left. I said, thank you, sister. God bless you. And he also, well, sir, oh, well, okay, it's all right, you know. He went. And then after 6 months, I went to Boston to preach in a church. It's a big church. There will be security. You can't, nobody can come and talk to me just like that. Then I preached. I was going down. There was one lady from the crowd said, hey, pastor. I said, this guy said, no, now you can't meet him. He's going for getting ready for next service. Then that lady, I just felt to talk to her. He said, okay, wait, guys, let me talk to her. Please come, sister, come. Then she said, do you remember me? Do you recognize me? I said, I never said on the outside. I was just trying to be polite. But inside I thought, you all look alike. How can I recognize? You guys all look alike. How can I recognize you guys? Of course, we are also like same when you come to India. That's a different thing. So then she said, pastor, do you remember Boston to San Jose? Oh, I cannot forget that. She said, my lifetime trauma. Then she said one thing. You know what? After listening to your word, my husband got down and he gave his life to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. Today, he's an evangelist working for God. Hallelujah. Don't miss any opportunity sharing the word of God. If you work hard, if you work intentionally, this Harvest Intercontinental will be one of the biggest churches in Washington, D.C. Not just for numbers. I'm not talking for numbers. It's impacting the state, impacting the capital city, impacting this nation of America by the word, by the power, by the miracles, beloved. Hallelujah. Now, I'm closing down now. You know, then what happened was, Joseph, he was absolutely God's, they thought, brothers thought, he was sold. What God said, he was sent. God is in control of your lives. You must be thinking I was sold. No, you are not sold. You are sent by God. You are in the purposes of God. God knows what is happening in your life, how it will take a shape in the days to come. Let me tell you, explain this to you. This is what God gave a dream to Joseph. God finishes first and starts second. God finishes first here. In the spirit realm, Revelation chapter 12 verse 13:8, it says, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. We are not in the plan B of Lord God Almighty. We are plan A. We are plan A, people. Jesus was already slain for you and me, even before the foundations of this world. Because he knows you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to spend eternity with him. And also, he wants you to impact this world by his anointing and by his calling, beloved. Now, Joseph, it is finished. What God told Joseph, Joseph, in obedience, if you can walk with me, I will take you there. I will take you there. This is a challenge to you, some of you guys. This is a done deal in your life. I'm closing now. If you obey obediently walking with the Lord, Lord, even if it hurts me, still I'll walk with you. I'll walk in obedience to your word. God will take you there, beloved. It doesn't matter the pit. It doesn't matter the 44 hours house. It doesn't matter the prison. But he will take you to the palace. He will elevate you to the palace. Hallelujah. You are in the purposes of God. This morning I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you. Shall we stand in his presence, beloved? Shall we stand in his presence? When Pharaoh had a dream, he called, "Who can interpret this dream?" Joseph said, "The dreams only God can interpret. God, whom I love, whom I trust, who gave me a vision, I can speak about him, not about me." It's not about you, brothers. It's not about you, sisters. The one who has called you, the one who has shed his blood for you, the one who has planned and a purpose in your life. Pharaoh gave him the fine linen, a signet ring, and Pharaoh gave him a gold necklace around his neck. The elevation comes. For some of you, beloved, the elevation is round the corner. It's almost you across the prison now. There's only palace is waiting for you. Receive this word. Ask God, "Lord, I want to receive this word." It's not just an information, Lord. It's a revelation. I confess this and I proclaim this, Lord. And once you proclaim, it starts manifesting in your life, beloved. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let's wait upon the Lord.
Just remain standing.